Why don't you turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. We'll begin reading in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou likest, go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, and saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have this morning of being able to come and worship you. And we ask you this morning that as we look into your word, that you might speak to our hearts. You might give us that which the Holy Spirit needs to give us this morning. We ask you, dear Lord, that you might forgive us of all of our sins and our iniquities. And you might this morning, Lord, anoint thy servant with the Holy Spirit of God. And give us the unction and the knowledge and wisdom to say that which is needed to be said. And all that's said and all that's done, we'll praise you throughout eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Heard about a boy walked up to a girl and said, Hi, how are you? And she says, Do I know you? And he says, Yes, I'm rich. And she said, Oh, that's great. My name's Karen. And how many riches do you have? How much land do you own? He said, No, my name's Rich. And she said, I don't talk to you. Well, this morning in our text, we meet a rich young man, a man that the Bible says came running to Jesus. And he was very polite, very respectful, very eager, because the Bible says, as I said, he came running to Jesus. And he was a very humble young man. The Bible says that he kneeled here at the feet of Jesus. Now, this morning when you look at this young man, it seems that he has everything that's needed. And we find this morning that he came seeking. He came this morning wanting eternal life. He came to Jesus and he said, I want to know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a great question this morning, a question that this morning I think every person somewhere in their life ought to have to ask this morning. How can I have eternal life? And Jesus gives him an answer, kind of a different answer than we would probably have given him, a different answer than we find the Apostle Paul gave to the Philippian jailer. But Jesus here was dealing with a young man who was a Jew who this morning knew and had been taught the covenants and the law of God, the doctrine of God. And here we find that Jesus begins to give him and said, you knowest the commandments. He said, oh yes, I know the commandments. He said, and he deals here with the ones against man. And the young man looks at Jesus and he said, Master, All these I have observed from my youth. I believed them and I've obeyed them from the time that I was a child. And Jesus said, well, you got one thing you like. And he said, what's that? He said, you got to sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross, and follow me. An unusual answer. And what was the young man's response? The Bible says that he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, I want to look at this just a little bit different than we normally look at this particular passage of Scripture this morning. And I want you to think about something very easy today. You see, wealth is not the issue here. There are a great many wealthy men who are mentioned in the Scripture who love God. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Yet this morning we find that he is called the friend of God. He loved God and obeyed God and followed God and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Abraham this morning was a very rich man. All you have to do is begin to study the Scripture and you can find that he had great wealth. We can look this morning and, of course, we find that Abraham's son Isaac inherited all that Abraham had, and he loved God. Jacob. As you go down through the Scripture today, you can see many. Job was a very rich man. You begin to read the book of Job, and you see how great riches that he had. But he loved God. David, Solomon. We find that even Daniel became a very wealthy man in the land of Babylon, became and was a great ruler there and had great position and a place of prestige. Joseph, when he went down into the land of Egypt, was a very wealthy man. I believe if you look at in the New Testament, I believe there are many wealthy people mentioned in the New Testament. There's Lydia. I believe James and John were wealthy men because as you begin to read the Scripture, and they were the sons of Zebedee, and he had a very successful, a very great fishing business. He had many people that worked for him, and he had a very successful business. And so this morning, wealth is not the issue. That's not the problem that we're going to find here. You see, the problem we have that this man loved possessions more than he loved God, more than he wanted God. You see, poverty, whether you're poor or whether you're wealthy, is not the issue. The issue this morning is what is in your heart. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus said that where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Whatever your treasure is, whatever is most important to you, that's where your heart will be. That's what your heart will always have a desire for. That'll mean more to you than anything else this morning. And you see, Jesus this morning looked into this man's heart. He looked down into the heart of this wealthy young man who came very respectfully, very eager, very, this morning, humble to him, seeking an answer to a question that had been bothering him. And Jesus looked into his heart. That's why we find that Jesus gave the answer that he gave. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Well, Jeremiah gives the answer in the very next verse when he said, the Lord searches the hearts of men. In the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse number 47, I want you to listen what the Bible says this morning. And Luke 9 and verse number 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart. Jesus perceiving, Jesus knowing the thought of their heart. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, we find that here the apostles are praying, and they're praying for wisdom. They're praying for direction. And notice what they say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men. And we could look at many other scriptures this morning, but I want you to understand this morning, that the Lord knows what's in our heart. Amen. Right. When Samuel went down to choose a king to be over Israel, and he went to the house of Jesse, we find that as Jesse was beginning to get ready to bring out all of his sons, that God told Samuel, don't worry about and don't look upon just what's on the outside, because he said that the Lord looks upon the heart. You see, the Lord this morning knows your heart. The Lord this morning knows my heart. And if you want to think about something that's very, very terrifying sometimes and very, very serious today, understand this. The Lord knows what's in your heart. The Lord is looking into our hearts this morning, and he knows what we are thinking. You realize that? The Lord knows what we're thinking right at this very moment of time. The Lord knows what you're thinking in your heart.
Right.
In Matthew chapter number 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaking to that crowd that day, said this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 28. Let me get there. I'll get there in just a minute, okay? Matthew 5, 28, I'm sorry. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Many years ago, when Jimmy Carter was running for president, they interviewed him, and he admitted to that particular sin there. Now, I'm not a great Jimmy Carter fan. Don't misunderstand that. And many people begin to ridicule him and make fun of him. But you know, this morning, I wonder how many people, if they would be honest with themselves, could say that I'm guilty of that. I've lusted in my heart. And the Lord knows that you've lusted in your heart. He knows what you're thinking this morning. You see, when people steal, when they murder, all manner of sin begins in the heart. It doesn't this morning just all at once begin at that moment of time. It begins in the heart. Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter number 15. Listen to what he says here. Listen, I won't give you a lot of scripture this morning, but I want you to listen carefully to it. Matthew 15 and verse number 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Where does it come from? It's in the heart. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defileth a man, but to eat with unwashed hand defileth not a man. You see, the things which, he said in verse 18, but the things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. It's what's in your heart. That's what comes out. You see, it begins in the heart. And Jesus looks into the heart. He looked into the heart of this man, and he knew that he was controlled by his wealth. One of the things, as you read through this list of commandments that Jesus said you have to keep, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He didn't say too much about covetousness, did he? You see, this man had great wealth, had great possessions. And that was what was his number one. And Jesus knew that. And he knows what's number one in your heart this morning. He knows what's number one in my heart. As you study through the scripture, and in the book of Luke, you find a parallel account of that Luke gave of this particular incident. And as you read through the scriptures and you get to the book of Luke, and as you're reading through it, and you come to this rich young man here. And then a little bit later, you come to another rich man. And the Bible says that this rich man had built great barns, and he had made great profits, and he had to build bigger barns to hold his harvest. And he made the decision then that he would sit back and eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy all that he had. And God said, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall these things be? A little bit later, you find another rich man. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in torment. I've often wondered, is this the same young man? And we see a progression in his life. This morning, it's what's in your heart. Jesus looked into this man's heart. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, that we better keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. And so I begin to wonder, what does the Lord see in our heart? So comes the question, where is your heart? Where is my heart? You see, the Bible gives us a lot of things this morning. Jesus talks about the hypocritical heart. A lot of people are hypocritical in their hearts, and when Jesus looks down into it, he sees it. Matthew chapter 15, once again, and verses 7 through 9, listen carefully. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, he's talking here about a group of people who would come to the synagogue. They would come to the temple. They would offer their sacrifices. They would always be in attendance. In other words, they would come and sing, and they would do all the religious routines and go through all of the religious doctrines. They seemingly, on the outside, were great people. They loved the Lord, and boy, they were always talking about that. You see, Jesus is speaking here of those today who are exactly like that. Many people are like that today. Several years ago, I was pastoring another church, and had a particular person in that church, and sometimes there was a problem. And one day a man came, and we had a special service, and he preached, and he asked me about this particular person, and I said, well, I don't want to go into great detail, but sometimes, yes, there is a problem. And he said, well, I can tell you right now, nobody's home. Nobody's home. The Lord's looking in my heart this morning. He's looking in your heart. Jesus said here that these people that come and they don't really love God. They don't really want to worship God. They're there for the show. They're there to make sure everybody knows they went to church. And they're just putting on a show. Jesus said, that's vain, and it means absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean anything. A lot of people, they have a hypocritical heart. And God looks into that heart, and he knows that they're not really worshiping the Lord, that what they're doing is absolutely nothing. It means nothing today. Several years ago, there was a very famous preacher, and he had a son who became a preacher. And this particular son was pastoring a very large church out in Texas. A lot of scandals began to be exposed, and his wife wrote a book, and someone sent me the book, and I read the biography, and she said that he began to commit adultery with several women in the church. And one night, on a Sunday night, a Sunday evening, she confronted him about many things, and he beat her up and threw her out of the house. Went to church and told her later it was the best sermon that he ever preached. But it didn't mean anything. A lot of people have a hypocritical heart this morning. And they're coming and they're acting like all pious. But Jesus said it's nothing but a show. And you know, he knows in our heart whether we're really worshiping him or not. There's the backslidden heart. Proverbs 14 and verse 14 said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. A lot of folks have just turned off God in their life today. They're not really loving the Lord like they used to. I guess the Bible, many times, and we could say they have a cold heart. And the Bible says they begin to be filled, or they begin to be controlled by their own ways. That is, they do what they want to do. They're controlled by their own desires. They're controlled by their own wants. They're controlled by what they think is best this morning. And they begin to rational away God and his word today. You know, well, I don't see what's the matter for me to drink just a little beer. And, you know, I watch just a little bit of pornography. And, you know, I'll just go down to the casino and just gamble just a little bit. I don't do anything but pay the penny slots. You see, they're controlled. They're filled by their own ways. And they're backslidden in their heart. This morning, a lot of folks are backslidden in their heart. They've slipped back on God. They're not doing what God wants them to do. And they know in their own heart, in their own life, that that's not doing today. They know they're not where they need to be with the Lord. They know they've got things in their heart that's not right. They know they have thoughts in their heart that's wrong. And they've just backed up on God. They've backslid on God, and they're not on fire for God anymore. And their hearts have grown cold. They don't want to serve the Lord. Something else is controlling them. God is now taking second or third or fourth or fifth place in their life. And God today is not where he needs to be. And he's not as important as he used to be. And they'd rather have something else than to have God. They're backslidden in their heart this morning. How many people are like that in our society? A lot of people are there like that, aren't they? Then there's the proud heart. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. This is the person that always wants attention. I have a confession to make. That describes a lot of Baptist preachers. I'm serious. They're always stirring up something. They're always trying to figure out a way to make sure they're the number one. That stirreth up strife. You know, they've got a proud heart. A lot of people there like that. Hey, the church couldn't get along without me. Well, it probably can and it probably will one day. Not being ugly. I'm not trying to be that way today. But you see, the person always wants attention. Always saying, hey, I should get more prestige. I should get more things. You know, what in the world? But they're always stirring up something. And problems are always going on. I don't like problems myself. But how many people are proud in their heart today? And God's looking in that heart and seeing that proud. And he's saying, you need to get rid of that. You need to get that out of your life. That's controlling you like the riches control the rich young ruler. Because that's why you're always doing this. Then there's the burning heart. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, we find that Jeremiah had been imprisoned. And he had been preaching and doing what the Lord wanted him to do. In verse number 9, Jeremiah had had enough. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He said, I'm tired of this. I'm quitting. Well, how long did it last? Well, to the next verse. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, boy, the word of God just began to burn in my heart. It began to convict me. And his word was burning and burning and burning. You see, sometimes a heart begins to burn because the word of God's in there. God has spoken to us by his spirit and by his word. And that's when we get ready to deal with God. Because when your heart begins to burn and God's word begins to show you where you're wrong and God's word begins to show you what you need to do, and it's such a burning in your soul today that you need to put the fire out, that's when you get ready to deal with God. Had a lady several years ago call me one evening, and she said, I need to see you. And I said, okay. And I got in my car and drove over to her home. And her and her husband came into the den, and we sat down, and I said, well, what's the problem? What can I do? What's happened? I didn't know what was going on. And all at once, she bust out and she said, I'm not saved and I need to get saved. God has spoken to me. What do I do? And I told her, and we went through the scriptures, and I said, you just have to ask the Lord to save you. You have to ask him to come into your heart. You have to ask him to forgive you and be your Savior. She knelt there by her couch and began to cry out unto God, and God miraculously saved her right there. You see, God's word was burning in her heart. She was willing to deal with God, and she was ready to deal with God. That's when we get ready to deal with God, when our heart's burning within us this morning. And you see, Jesus is looking into our heart, and he knows what's in our heart, and he knows what's going on in our heart. He knows what controls us today. He knows where our treasure is this morning. But we need to set our affection on things above. This morning, I ask you very simply this question. What's in your heart? Where is your heart this morning? And what would God have you to do today? You see, that's the question you have to answer in your own heart, in your own life. What will God have you do? And as God is looking in your heart, what is he seeing this morning? What is he seeing as he looks into your heart? Right now. That's the question you must answer in your own heart this morning. All right, if you'll stand together, bow for prayer. Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And all that's said and done, give him the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.